Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
I'm Keith.
And I'm Jack.
And we are back with an all-new episode of Gun Day Brunch brought to you by Taurus USA and Guns.com. For more information about fine firearms for... I was really working on... I wanted one more F to get that really alliterative bit. Anyway, go to Taurus
fine
USA.
Fine firearms for...
That, nope.
Bigger,
nope.
Bigger.
I don't want the algorithm to bump us down. No harsh profanity in the first minute of the episode. All right, so, but no, seriously, if you're looking for info on our guns, go to TaurusUSA.com, and if you want to buy them, hit up our friends at Guns.com. We are back with an all-new episode. I'm still in my red shirt because I'm going to go help an away team in the new Star Trek Strange New World series,
Captain
which
Kirk,
is
Mr. Spock, Leonard McCoy, and Ensign Caleb.
Right. Ensign, God, he doesn't even have a name. It just says number three. Oh boy. Sucks to be that guy. If you're not watching it, guys, by the way, the new Star Trek Strange New World series on Paramount Plus is absolutely fire. I love it. I've loved Star Trek my entire life. This has nothing to do with today's episode, but it's great. Check it out if you like Star Trek.
It's fun in ways that Discovery was not, so I'm happy with it.
They're having fun with the franchise again. Their musical episode, I Don't Care Who You Are, that was fire. I loved it, top to bottom. Anyway, the topic of this week's episode is something that I see a lot amongst the self-defense community, the clubs, the peoples, and it's this idea, and I guarantee that if you've been out here long enough, you've seen it, where someone said, oh, I don't want to go to this thing because I can't carry my gun at the thing. And I saw one of these recently, and I was talking to one of our mutual friends, Greg Ellifritz, about this, how there's a number of people who in our self-defense community who are letting all of these fantastic life experiences pass them by because they're afraid. And that's really what it gets down to. They will tell you, oh, I'm just trying to be prepared, or I don't want to go someplace dangerous, or da-da-da-da-da. It's because they're afraid. And there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong with being afraid. But like, all right, this is the most
natural and very useful emotion.
Most like low tier example of this that I could possibly imagine, because at no point did I even feel like I wasn't in a. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in Atlanta for work. I had a Sunday afternoon off. I didn't want to lay around my hotel room. I was like a 35-minute walk from the Braves Stadium. So I did. I know that there's going to be metal detectors and things like that at the stadium, so I didn't take my gun with me. And I walked 30 minutes, crossed a highway, walked past a Waffle House and a gas station that were like catty corner on the street from each other.
Exactly where you're at.
Yeah, of course you know exactly where I was.
I'm going to be down there tomorrow, so
walked past that and went to the Braves game. I had a great time. I had some beers. I had had some hot dogs. Had some baseball food. Walked back. I know people who would not have done that because they would have been like, you're going to walk through like Atlanta? And
hey, well, let's stop there.
Yeah, see,
that ain't
like,
Atlanta.
You know, but that's the
that
problem.
That ain't Atlanta.
No.
But they like, heard Atlanta.
Where we used to have the stadium.
I might not have done that. But this is my point, right? Is like people have this. So what I think for me, I'm just going to stand in defense of cities in this episode, because people have this idea of cities as these monolithic places where if you go there, you will get stabbed, shot, murdered, or something like that. And the problem is none of these people live in cities, have lived in cities, or go to cities at any sort of time. I love cities. I try to not to go to the places where I'm going to get stabbed or shot. Like, you can go to Chicago and have a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Done it. But I have family there. It's fun.
But we get Chicago presented to us as Mos Eisley Spaceport, you know? But you know what? I bet you most people who go to Mos Eisley Spaceport don't be getting into gunfights.
Everything is about location.
Yeah, 100%.
There are very safe places in Chicago. There are very unsafe places in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The problem that most outsiders have is they don't know the differences between them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the thing, right? So, like, I want people to go do things that get them out of their comfort zone, but I also do want them to be safe. So, Jack, talk to us about how can I, in a metro area, identify where it's safe for me to be versus where it's not safe for me. Give me some clues of, like,
so
bad part of town versus okay part of town.
I used to travel for work a lot. I'd be in a lot of different cities. And my general rules of thumb are, look for the types of businesses around you. And this will tell you a lot about the area that you're in. If you've got a Ruby Tuesdays, a Chili's, a TGIF, and they're all in the same area, families are coming here to eat. Does that mean it's necessarily going to be drama-free? No, these are human watering holes, which means all human drama does come here. But it also means that businesses have invested in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Is there trash everywhere? That's not a good sign. Are there homeless people roaming around? Also not a great sign, though I will say the thing I look for are homeless encampments.
Yeah.
If I see a homeless encampment, I know that area is probably going to have a lot of issues with drugs and stuff like that. So I make sure my windows are up. I make sure my doors are locked. I wouldn't walk through that area if I could avoid it.
I want to pause there for a second, because I want people to understand there's a very big difference between a homeless person, you know, wandering around the streets versus places where the homeless have been allowed to erect temporary structures.
Yeah.
And, you know, squat and do things like that. So there's a huge...
Like, and this is different in each city.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in Atlanta, we don't have them living on the street sides and RVs and stuff like that like you have in California. What they will do here is on and off ramp areas, we have a lot of trees and stuff. And they will set up camps inside of those dense trees areas where they're not as easily visible. They can go out towards the on and off ramps where they can, you know, hold up a sign and kind of bustle for some money.
There's actually one of those that I noticed when I was walking back from the game. I, like, looked off the sidewalk. There's like a short fence, and I look back and I see, like, down in the gully, I see some tents, and I'm like, man, if it rains hard, you guys are going to get washed out down there.
They do. Yeah, that's not a great area for one. We occasionally kind of, they try and move them around a little bit. It's not super effective. They do keep them out of, you know, high traffic areas, mostly to avoid people that are high on narcotics walking out into high traffic areas and getting hit by cars.
Buses. Man, them buses in Atlanta do not stop for nothing.
No. And it is, other things that I look for, graffiti, I look for...
Note on graffiti. There is a difference between tagging and mural-style graffiti. If you are in a neighborhood where there's lots of, like, really well-done, like, graffiti that looks like art, that's actually probably not a bad neighborhood. Is it a
place... They paid for that.
Yeah. Is it a place where you maybe want to walk around after dark? Maybe not, but... The type and style of the graffiti is also an indicator, because there are neighborhoods in Los Angeles, in South Florida, that are heavily graffitied, but the graffiti is a form of artistic expression versus Latin Kings or whatever.
It is inevitably there are things that will make certain areas safe, other areas not so safe. I will highly recommend you don't rely on things like crime trackers online. Those things they report crimes that are reported to the police that the police then take note of. Talk to locals, ask for ask questions about what's a good spot for late at night. They'll probably tell you, oh, don't go over there. Or go to this place, it's a lot safer. Be aware of things. I generally tell people drive at night or Uber, don't walk on the streets, but that's just general good life advice. If you're going to walk on the street, do what you're going to do.
There's also the social element to all of this, where if you're just generally more aware of what's going on around you, even if you are in the quote unquote unsafe spaces, you can avoid the unsafe situations because you won't walk into them.
Or
you won't say the wrong thing or have the wrong social interaction that then causes the problem. Because how many problems were started because something was said, something was responded to, and now the fight's on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, try to not wear red in a neighborhood where there's lots of blue graffiti.
That's not really much an LA thing.
Yeah, that is very much an LA thing. And that's a good point, is that a lot of this stuff, this goes back to my earlier point of people thinking of cities as monoliths. Things that are good personal protective practices in Los Angeles may not be a good idea in Miami, which may not be a good idea in Manhattan, which may not be a good idea in Chicago. So you have to actually have, if you're going to visit an area and you don't have a local guy on the ground to tell you kind of, you know, to give you the lay of the land, just because you know what's up in Manhattan doesn't mean you know what's up in Chicago.
Yeah, and even gangs that might have the same name will have totally different viewpoints in different parts of the country. I'll go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. Most of these gangs that claim to be like a Blood, a Crip, or things like that, they have no connection to a national chain. There is no overall leadership approving that. It's just what people are claiming.
There's actually the number, and this is something that if you do a little bit of homework, the number of criminal organizations that actually have national command and control, national or international level command and control infrastructure is really, really small. Like there's not a lot of them, guys. And if you think there are, you have been watching too many TV shows and too many movies. Other things, like I struggle with this because I do really feel like people miss out on opportunities to do fun things because they're afraid of going out after dark or walking around or stuff like that. And I want people to do the fun thing. All right, guys, go outside, walk to the baseball game. You know, don't, if you're going to do that, don't walk home at 2 a.m. In a city that you've never been to before while you're hammered. Like, you can have you're not Greg Ella for it, so don't go to a third world country and get hammered and do whatever, right? Like, this is the other thing that I do.
Greg built different.
Yeah, this is the other thing I do want to caveat this with. Some people are also built different. I don't want people to be afraid to do stuff because they don't have their gun with them, they can't take a knife or things like that. I'm like,
that's a point right there. If you're at the stage of carry where you're going, I won't go here if I can bring my gun. Like, I understand that. I had that phase too.
We
all had that phase. However, that phase comes to an end because it's silly.
It is. Go ahead.
There's no point in defending a life that's not lived.
Yeah, absolutely. The first time that your friends go out without you because you didn't want to go because you couldn't carry there, there will be a new group chat born that night and you won't be in it.
Yeah.
And that's not any fun. So look, all right, I get it. And it is a phase. I went through that phase and I've had actual various times in my life where I've like gone up and down it. And I'm not saying that you should like do dumb things, right? So like, no, I've turned down events. I've turned down the opportunity to do things because I'm like, that is a bunch of people who are about to go make stupid decisions that I don't want to be a part of for whatever reason. There was one time at SHOT Show where a bunch of people were like, hey, let's go. It was like 1 a.m. We had just finished up at a bar. And they're like, let's go to another bar. And I happened to know where that bar was, not in the best part of town. We would have had to take an Uber to get there. I was already kind of trashed. They were all super trashed. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do instead? I'm going to go back to my room and go to bed because I'm tired. It had nothing to do with the fact that that was kind of a sketch area. Mostly I was tired. But
there's bringing the social aspect again. Like, there's, let's be honest, most of these situations where people go out and quote unquote do dumb shit, like, they end up fine. They're fine. Everyone's
that too, yeah.
Like, they're able to, even in the bad decision state, make enough good decisions that they end up on the right side of things.
I remembered what brought this on. Somebody, this was a friend of mine. So my wife went to Nashville for a friend's party, and I was talking to a different friend about it. And they're like, oh yeah, I don't really like to go to Nashville. It's gotten so like crime ridden. And I was like, Nashville, Tennessee. Like, is there another Nashville that I'm not aware of where they'd be having gunfights on the reg? Or
they misspelled Flint, apparently.
Is there like a Nashville, Kansas, where they're just throwing
Memphis
down?
Nashville, yeah. Not so much. Yeah.
But even I've been to Memphis, and I've walked around Memphis after dark in parts of town that I probably shouldn't have been in. Was it the smartest thing I've ever done? No. Did I get some really good barbecue? Yeah.
I know
the barbecue was worth maybe getting stabbed over.
I know three people that have had to do the thing in Memphis.
Memphis was wild. I hear it's gotten better, but it's still pretty wild. If you want to go get yourself a Conus kill, I guess Memphis.
Here's the thing. All of this is on a sliding scale of probably okay to like probably risky. There's no guarantee either way. You can spend your entire life in the almost certainly okay zone and still get hit for something, still have someone, still get into a fight, still end up risking your life and getting shot, stabbed, etc. You can.
Yeah. You just have a bad day. I'm trying to find like a good source. Well, you know what? Okay. Here's a city that gets a bad rap. St. Louis. And does St. Louis have crime? Yes. Are there parts of St. Louis that you should not go to under any circumstances after 10 p.m.? Also, yes.
Those aren't for you.
I spent a lot of time in St. Louis. I love it. It's a great little city. But at the same time, there are parts of it that I will say this. I have a higher risk. I think everybody on this call has a higher tolerance for a level of personal risk. If there's maybe something interesting at the end of that personal risk, like,
yes,
I will go on adventure time.
I went and got barbecue in East St. I love barbecue. I've actually risked my personal safety over barbecue a couple of times in my life because I went to East St. Louis to get barbecue. I went to a joint in Memphis to get barbecue. These joints were in really bad parts of town, but the barbecue place was Rick's in Casablanca. Everybody knows that you don't around with the local barbecue joints. I'm not saying that's a universal rule. You can't trust that, but you know, people barbecue.
It's one of those unwritten social codes that not here.
Right. Not
it's
here.
It's kind of that we don't do business on continental grounds.
Yeah. That would have been a more timely reference because people might not get the Rick's in Casablanca bit. But like the one in St. Louis that I went to stands out to me because the whole block, basically, except for this barbecue joint, was trashed. The barbecue joint was clean. The parking lot was immaculate. The restaurant looked great. And I'm like, Mogadishu, America. What the fuck is going on? So that's how you knew.
It's getting into the differences between the two types of violence. There's the sudden social violence, someone pissed off somebody else. And then there's the transactional violence. This is part of something larger. You're getting, someone is getting back at someone specific.
It's professional violence.
Professional violence by professional violent actors. People who know what they're doing, they know what they're about.
And they're about that.
They know exactly the risks and the consequences that are going down right now.
They do. So, and what most people actually fear is like somehow getting involved in the transactional violence. And it's like, no, that's probably not. What you have to be on the lookout for when you're out adventuring is tripping into the sudden social violence by being a dumbass.
Which is why you should carry a folded up $20 bill. And if you bump in and annoy someone, hand them that $20 bill. My bad. Here you go. You know what? Have a beer on me.
I will say that in Miami, that's a, it needs to be a 50 because inflation a bitch down there.
Actually considering that the other day. I'm like, Jack needs to update the MB20 theory to the MB50.
As long as a 20 and
put out a video due to inflation.
As long as a 20 will buy you dinner, the my bad 20 still works.
Yes, yeah, I was gonna say, as long as the 20 is worth about two drinks in a normal bar, like if you're in like a high end bar. No, but the people that you're slipping a 22 to apologize aren't going into, you know, Hall's Chop House.
You're at a hole in the wall somewhere. Everyone right. was having a good time and something just occurred to disrupt that.
This will buy you 2 to 4 beers in most places in America. And that is a great way to say I'm sorry.
And what it will do most of all is make your apology very sincere.
Yeah. $20 is still a lot of money to some people. And on that note,
$20 is in fact $20.
Go do the thing. Hang on. There's a certain segment of people that I'm not talking to right now, and you know who you are. However, if you're on the fence about doing something because you're worried about being able to carry there or something like that, don't. Just go do it. Just do it. Leave your gun at home. I promise you, you will not die. And you'll probably have a really good time, and you will have a much better time than you would have if you sat around in your house with your gun watching YouTube, listening to us watching Grantham. Doesn't matter. Go do stuff. Please do stuff. And please stop posting about how cities are dangerous or this is dangerous or that is dangerous. Just go do things, guys.
Aren't you dangerous? Like, yeah. Why are you worried?
The whole point of
I am the weapon.
Doing these things is we are too.
I the experiences that I've had from, you know, because I travel extensively for work and I like to walk around the places that I go. The experiences that I've had from walking around cities and going into bars and sitting down and just drinking at the bar and chatting with people have made me, I'm not going to say more dangerous, but they have made me a much more well-rounded person when it comes to defending myself and being able to read social cues and things like that than I would have been if I just sat cooped up in my hotel room and never went outside. You know?
Social literacy is one of the most underrated defensive skills. And I know that's something that Alex hits on every now and then too, is being able to read the very, very obvious body language, even if it's not in your normal social circles, especially if it's not in your normal social circles, of people giving off danger signs that you're pissing them off, is a skill set. And it should be one you develop.
Or to just to be able to read it of other people getting pissed off at other people and giving you the opportunity. I don't want to be here
anymore. This is not my problem.
This bar is about to be a bar fight. Cash out.
You know, two 20s on the bar and I'm out skis.
All right, guys. So we will leave you with this. Go do the thing. Have the adventure. Don't worry about the gun. You know, be the danger yourself or whatever. Like, you know, one mind, any weapon, whatever cliche you want to tell yourself. Fucking tell yourself that.
Danger.
And then
I am the danger. For some reason, I'm just picturing the hamster from Bolt in the ball. I am the danger.
Go have fun. And go live your lives, guys. Let your life be, you know, I don't want anybody who carries a gun and wants to defend their life get to the end of it and go, God, I wish I'd fucking gone to, you know, Korea. I wish I'd gone on that trip to Korea with my friends or whatever it is that you didn't do because you were afraid that you wouldn't be able to carry there. And on that note, that is it for this week. Thank you, everyone, for liking, sharing, subscribing. Make sure that if you do subscribe, you hit that notification bell so that you get notifications when we drop a new episode. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, go ahead and leave us one of those sick little 5-star reviews. Shout out to Google Podcasts. He's back. The man's still out there, still hanging on. And again,
carrying us, Google Podcast guy.
If you guys, we are still taking submissions for self-defense stories. So if you have those that you want to share with us, you can DM them to me on Facebook or Instagram, email them to me at gunnutsmedia@icloud.com. You can post them in the comments on these episodes if you want to. That's a little bit harder for us to track, but hey, if that's what you want to do, knock yourselves out. We'll talk to you guys next week with an all-new episode.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.